All right, we're trying to understand the different offerings, particularly the sin offering and the trespass offering. And we've talked before that within all of the ancient patriarchs before the law, there was never a sin offering. They offered burnt offerings, peace offerings, meal offerings, but never sin or trespass offerings. And the reason is, where there is no law, there is no sin or trespass. And there they were able to, or they had the potential, just as Adam and Eve had the potential to transform the innocence into holiness by antagonism. The reason that if Eve had eaten of the apple and Adam had said, "I won't eat of it," then there wouldn't have been a fall. No, that's hard to understand. But the point of it is, throughout the scriptures, there's no law that the woman has to keep. There's no to-dos for the woman. There's 613 laws in the Torah. And they represent the 365 days of the year plus the number of bones in the body, 258 or something, whatever, that comes out to 613. And that interrelationship is huge because, and that's why someday we'll understand the dry bones of Ezekiel 9. But it's because it's you must see, as Ezekiel did, the bones becoming, seeing the mystery of the bride being completed in those bones. Now, there's all these infinite number of grades of offerings and different types of sin offerings, different types of trespass offerings, but that doesn't affect it, how can I say this? There's really only one sin offering and one trespass offering. The sin offering is because Adam ate of the apple. The trespass offering is when we fall from the mercy seat. So that's all. That's it. But our apprehension, that is too mind-bending for our minds to comprehend. That's why there's all the different grades of the offering. So if you're poor, there's one for the priest, one for the temple, there's all these things that are infinite. But fundamentally, there's only one sin offering and one trespass offering. There's only one trespass, leaving the mercy seat. There's only one sin, you. Can anybody buy that?
So it's like, okay, we're sin, but we don't sin.
So. You don't commit sin because sin was dealt with at the cross. You either are sin or you're doing trespass. Sin is what you are. Trespass is what you do. Now, this whole idea of experience and living as we do experience is nothing more than the measure of our apprehension of that which is already finished in Christ. The sufficiency of his work in no way depends on our apprehension of it. But I promise you, your peace, your sufficiency, your satisfaction, all depends on your seeing. Seeing is that equivalent to apprehending? Is that, am I talking Greek or what? You got that look on your face. Does it mean anything? Well, I wonder what's going on. It's because we've apprehended so little or been apprehended by so little that we have so little comfort and satisfaction. And that's why we have to go to all these other deals to try to gain sustenance and satisfaction. All right, just for the sin offering. Well, that's too early. In general, the sin and trespass offering is a pardon. The burn offering or meat offering are revelations of your acceptance. The peace offering is your ability to have communion, true koinonia, true fellowship. So your fellowship isn't based on somebody's behavior. This is a lot, what I've said so far is a lot to apprehend and be apprehended by. And this is a time not to be a bump on the log, but to see and ask questions. If you don't understand, everybody understands perfectly.
What was the animal that was sacrificed?
What?
What animal was sacrificed for sin?
Well, there's bunches of them.
The what?
There's bunches of them.
Animals?
Different animals.
You kill cows and sheep and goats
and stuff. And doves.
So that's a picture in itself.
Well, but only of our apprehension. And that's nothing to do with the sufficiency and finished work of Christ. By one offering, you've been perfected. But your apprehension of it is what the measure, the thing, and that can only come by repentance. It can't come by study. It's already finished. It's already complete in you. He doesn't need your mind to help. He needs you to repent at the deepest possible level. Then you begin to apprehend that which is already finished.
Where does killing a goat, what does that have to do with my repentance?
Because you lay your hands on the goat. That means that you see and have accepted that that's your death. And the people that saw that saw the mystery of Christ.
So killing a goat's different than killing a turtle dove?
Only because it's only a measure of your apprehension of the finished work.
A less valuable animal, just smaller, less apprehension?
Yes. Spiritually impoverished. And you finally see that they all pointed to Christ. And so you see a finished work and you're at peace. Nothing can take you off the mercy seat. But let's just concentrate on one thing, or two things. That there is only one sin and there's only one trespass. The sin is you keeping yourself alive. The trespass, after you're now seated with him already in the heavenly place, is leaving it. And all the different gradations of trespass are what you see as what causes you to leave.
What do you mean by keeping yourself alive? People go to the hospital, see doctors.
No. Keeping yourself alive as you are the subject of your sentence. I need, I deserve, I want.
on the animals is that no, there's no part of you that is not covered by the sacrifice, whether it's a beast or a bird. It's, you know, you see everything about you is wrapped up in the sacrifice of Christ.
Well, yeah, but again, you got to hear this, Gary. Those different gradations are a measure of your apprehension of his finished work.
A measurement of anything that you would think is not correct.
No.
And what is not supposed to be.
Let me show you something. But I have the trespass one. Okay, this is a chart of the trespass offerings. Who is offended? Who it atones for? What it atones for? Who kills? Was there laying out of hands? Who receives the 20%? Who determines valuation? Where killed? Disposition of blood? Disposition of fat? Mention of the inner parts, disposition of inner parts, disposition of the body. Is the sacrifice eaten? And where is it eaten? Each one of those, whether in which god, which animal it is, each one of those define something. They define how much you have seen of his finished work. When you've seen his finished work, then you no longer even see this. The same is true with the trespass offering. All the different grades. What happens? Who does it? Blah, 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 blah. All the different, which animal is sacrificed? All are a measure of your apprehension. Now you think, you inherently think, you believe that this means I have to study a whole bunch to understand this. I have to make these charts and see all the little gradations of it. No. I mean, it took me 3 years, I've told you, to do this book on the offerings. And that was, it was a lot, like 10 to 12 hours a day. Why? Because I didn't apprehend. It just confused me. And if it confused me, I said, that's not right. I've got to see and understand. And the more I saw it was only my lack of repentance and the belief system that I had to study that was what was going on. If faith would have stepped in and said, it's all finished, there's one offering, by that one offering you've been perfected forever. But the evidence of whether or not you see this is how you live. This is why living in community is so vital. This is why exhorting one another daily, while it is still called today, is so important. You know, if I hear conversations, it's all about people or what's going on in the world or something, then I know that the apprehension is little. Because your sustenance and satisfaction depends on whether the Cowboys win or who wins an election or some deal that's going on in somewhere. But we're outside of that. There's nothing you can do to get to the mercy seat. The only thing you can do is see that he's on the mercy seat and you're in him. But it has to be all of you. You can't see that and believe you're on the mercy seat and then, you know, still mess around with the mammon and the things of this world. It has nothing to do with, we're not talking about salvation or who's saved or who isn't saved. We're talking about your joy and satisfaction.
I find that when I talk about this stuff, I understand it and I know what I'm talking about. And just because I know what I'm talking about, I find that other people don't know what I'm talking about. It's like the apprehension has a, there's some path to it, it seems.
Yeah, the path is repentance. That's it.
Yeah, but what sparks the repentance?
Not understanding. Not seeing. What, and not feeling at peace. Thinking you have something to do.
Preaching
is the purpose of the preaching of the cross is the only thing that's preached.
Right.
The preaching of the cross is repentance at a deeper and deeper level. See, we still have this beguiling thing, this subtle thing, this called this mind. And even after you're a believer, there's some part of you that believes that you're proving yourself by keeping the law. And that's the Antichrist trying to beguile you. The law came to make sin abundant. Not to try to act like you're doing it. Let's keep this. Just the Sabbath, keeping of the Sabbath. If you want to keep the law, keeping of the Sabbath. There are 46 things that you can do, which everybody does all the time, to deny the Sabbath, to break the Sabbath, and they're all a death penalty. That's why Christ was the only one that ever kept the Sabbath perfectly. He kept it, but he didn't. He did it in the grave. Now, the Sabbath is no more a day, it's a person. And so all that this is about, everything that I'm talking about is about, is keeping the Sabbath. You know, Revelation 14 again. Here is verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That's the faith of Christ. That's the commandments of God. In those two verses, one verse. Die. Dead. Blessed are they, the dead, which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, you understand how many labors there are? If you're in Bananas, you studied the 12 labors of Hercules as they were a type of Christ. They're never ending. But so are your labors. They're never ending. And the whole point of this sin and trespass offering is for you to see and that repentance might be deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper So if there's the slightest place in any arena of your life where your works are leading you, and that's the human race, that's what the human race does. Their works lead them. And that's one of the talents. If the works are leading you, then you have an investment in the outcome of the works. And you're not hearing. You may have apprehended a portion of the sin offering or a portion of the trespass offering, but it wasn't fully seen. You weren't apprehended by it because repentance didn't come from the places where you are led by your labors. It doesn't matter what you do, what kind of work you're in, or what kind of... What, Pete? You're doing something.
Just thinking in about the areas where I see that I've been resisting, apprehending, rebelling.
What's necessary is to shut up your mouth. But not just this mouth. The 70 mouths that are up here. Thinking that there's something that you can do to get. There's something that you can do to do. There's something you can do to be. Simplicity of like the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want anything to be different than it is. I shall not want the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. Oh, I got to stop. Because I can't say, hallowed be thy name, if I think anything should be different than it is in the world. If anything should be different. If you're judging anyone, if you're judging yourself, I can't finish that, hallowed be thy name, until I put all of the things that I think need to be different on the altar and leave them there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's the greatest. Think of that conceptually. Whatever your idea of heaven is, it doesn't matter. But what Christ's idea of heaven is perfect peace, 24 hours a day, perfect sufficiency, perfect satisfaction, perfect love being manifested. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day the bread of the presence. That nothing else gives us sustenance and satisfaction save that bread, the flesh of the Lord. And forgive us our sin as we forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. There's the blood. The blood hasn't, if there's anybody that you haven't forgiven, including yourself, then the blood hasn't done its perfect work. Lead us not into temptation. That's the word, the lead. It's only used twice in the Bible, both times for the Luke's and Matthew's Lord's Prayer. It means to be led inward for any reason. Led inward for any reason. Lead us not into this, which is temptation. but to the contrary, deliver us from this evil one. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. You can't have these mouths talking and expect to have any apprehension. Because these mouths will tell you, well, their main function is to accuse you. Let's look at the 23rd Psalm then real quick. The Lord, again, when that word is used, it means the one who owns you. The Lord is my shepherd. Because of that, I shall not want ever. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. And when I screw up, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness, the way of righteousness, the hodos of righteousness, for his name's sake. Now, nothing about me, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hallelujah. This whole deal of time and space is the valley of the shadow of death. Thy rod and thy staff, the instruments of correction, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table for me in the very presence of mine enemies. Anointest my head with oil.
Who are the enemies? This up here?
No. Not your main enemies, but there are no other enemies. He anointeth my head with oil, and finally my cup runneth over, because I'm not trying to make my cup bigger all the time to get more stuff. Instead, I'm making it as small as possible. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall, it says follow, but the better translation, surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me, chase me, and waiting for me to sit down, quit this crap, all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ha'olam, for eternity. What more could you want? If there was nothing but the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm, you'd have enough for salvation. We'll do more on this tomorrow. Anybody have any response? You understand that one takeaway today is there's one sin one trespass. The sin is you. The trespass is you leaving the mercy seat. It's never the issue. It's never about what you did when you left the mercy seat. The trespass is that you left the mercy seat. Amen?
Amen.
There's no gradients of trespass or sin. Well, let's rank them so I can feel righteous about something. Everybody understand perfectly? Hmm? Take a big guy.